This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Today, we are going to the Netherlands, to the land of the Dutch. And we are visiting with a friend and a fellow minister, Marion van der Wel. Now, this is the second time she has been on our broadcast. She speaks Dutch and English, and I speak English. So I should be apologizing to her that I don't speak Dutch. Okay.
I like this.
Over the last year or so, I've got to learn about you, your stories, your testimony, and your walk with the Lord.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And you've sent music, and you've sent and messages. I want to jump right into something that's been on my mind. What is the condition, spiritual condition in the Netherlands? That's a question I have. What do they believe?
Yeah. Well, it's very poor among the elderly, Jim. They don't like changes, or they are bitter because of what they experienced in the churches or church members. When they allow me to talk to them, some are touched because I don't defend the churches. Having compassion on them is a key to break off their hardness. I tell them that God loves them and wants a relationship with them. And if I can put my hand or arm on them, then they often cry and changes happen. There's also a hypergrace. That means everything goes. Once saved, always saved. Hell doesn't exist. And the kingdom now thinking. There's a hypergrace, which means everything goes. Once saved, always saved, so they don't have to repent of their sin anymore. After they are saved, they don't have to repent. Hell doesn't exist anymore, and the kingdom, and they have kingdom now thinking. They don't those people, they don't believe in the book of Revelation. They don't read the Gospels. They only take the some things of Paul. They don't even read the Old Testament. It's really creepy, this thinking.
That sounds creepy.
Yeah, it really is very, very creepy. They say everything has already happened in the book of Revelation. And I've been arguing with these people, but they... yeah, it's really horrible. And they have to take over the world also. And then when they're ready, then they ask Jesus to come back. They ask Jesus to come back. So it's different from here. They become bitter to God when it becomes hard. It's really different. But the teenagers and the young people are more open. And shall I give you some examples of praying on the streets with those young people?
Yes, Marianne, what's happening?
Yeah. It was a teenage lady that had fallen off a horse, and she had a painful foot. I laid my hand on her foot and asked the French woman I was with to join in. After prayer, she was healed, and I asked the teenager if she had ever felt God, and she said no. I asked her if she wanted to feel him, and she said yes. The Holy Spirit fell on her, and she was overwhelmed. She was with three other young teenagers, and one of them was a Christian. The two non-Christians also asked to be touched, and the Holy Spirit came on them too. After that, we had a good talk. They said that they will go to a church and get baptized. On the marketplace, I asked a young man if he'd ever felt God, and he said no. And I asked him if he wanted to feel him, and he said yes. The Holy Spirit touched him mightily, and therefore I could lead him in a sinner's prayer. He was walking with his grandma, who was a Christian, and she enjoyed this. She was smiling from ear to ear. We met three young teenagers, and I asked if they had pain or bodily problems. They said no. Then I asked one of them if he'd ever felt God, and he said no. I asked if he wanted to feel God. He said yes, and the Holy Spirit touched him, and the other two saw it, and they begged me also to touch them. The first one became so very emotional, and the other one got tears in their eyes. All three of them were touched, and one of my fellow students explained the gospel to them at McDonald's. It was really, really beautiful with those young people. On the streets, a man with his family were mocking me because I had said to him that Jesus heals people. I asked him if he'd ever felt Jesus. He said no. And I asked him, would you like to? He said no. But his daughter, she said yes. I went to sit next to her. This was all outside on the streets. I went to sit next to her while her girlfriend kept on mocking me. The Holy Spirit came quickly and she started crying. I asked her if she felt him and she said yes. While she was crying, I asked her to call on Jesus. She did, and I led her in a sinner's prayer, which she repeated after me. When the other girl saw that it was real, she stopped mocking. Because the girl kept on crying, her parents demanded me to stop and took off with her. They didn't understand why she was crying. She was walked away, she kept on crying. She was maybe 13, 14 years old. Yeah, while evangelizing with a group.
Now, you go with a group of believers that have a bus that they use for ministry.
Yeah, with a 40 feet long red bus.
What's happening?
A teenager and a boyfriend came to the bus because she wanted prayer. Only the woman, the teenager. They entered the bus and she straight away said that her boyfriend didn't want anything to do with God. She said that her father had died 3 months ago and she was somewhat upset that God had killed him. He must have died very young because she was also something like 15. She said that her father had died 3 months ago and she was really upset. I put my hand on her shoulder and I asked God to heal her sorrow. She started to cry in my arms. Then she looked surprised at me and told me that she didn't even cry when her father had died, nor on his funeral. We talked some, and I showed her the salvation prayer that I had and asked her if she wanted to pray that. She prayed it. Her boyfriend also prayed the salvation prayer after he forgave some people. And after that, he was so full of joy, he said, God is all over me. God is all over me. His face spoke volumes. Those two left the bus so happy. Also, another teenager that was sitting outside on a bench was healed of a back problem. And after prayer, his legs became even in length. He stood up and moved around and felt the difference. I like that thing. I like this.
Wow.
Yeah.
You go right to the heart of the matter. The Holy Spirit is working through you. It's remarkable. You have a street ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You go out on this bus.
Yeah. Yeah. They believe in deliverances and healings, and so that's good.
Okay. Deliverance. Now, there's people that are listening to this program that would like to hear more about deliverance. Explain that, deliverance.
Deliverance is when someone has a demon in them, and it's not making your life more pleasant. So then you have to throw that thing out, the Bible says. Yeah. Well, when people sin, then a demon can come in. If they keep on sinning, a demon can come in, and it won't go away just like that. It stays there. So when a Christian becomes born again, they can be freed from those demons in the name of Jesus. Jesus said also that we have power to cast out demons in his name.
That's what Jesus said, so that's a commission.
Yeah, that's a commission. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Explain that, deliverance.
Well, they can watch wrong music, wrong films. Wrong movies, anger can also be an opening to them. When you curse someone, it certainly is opening for a death spirit to come in. It's really everything that's placed under sin in the Bible, a demon can come in because it has an opening. It's allowed to come in then. So
Well, some people, I understand, invite them into their bodies and into their lives. They invite them.
Yeah, that the witches do that, and the Satanists. They invite them specially because they want more power. They want power, and they get it that way. But they forget that they've been taken over themselves. So in the beginning, it's nice, of course, for them. But then it's the other way around.
So it takes control of them.
Yeah, right. That's Well, I didn't have a religious background. I started fresh.
When I was 23, my parents became Christians. They gave me a Bible and some Christian books. Out of politeness, I put them in our bookcase. And that was allowed also from our son. 5 years later, I took out a book and read Why Jesus Was Crucified. The moment I read that and said, oh, that's how it is, I felt something falling from my eyelids, and I saw a bright white light in my room. It was amazing, Jim. And suddenly and instantly I knew I was a child of God.
And when I became born again, I directly had a love relationship with God, and that stayed. It always stayed. Because I could not go to a church service for 2 years because I was married to a Muslim, God himself started to teach me. If I didn't pray and read my Bible, my car wouldn't start in the morning, Jim.
Oh, my.
Yeah, really. I had a full-time job back then, but I had to go back inside again and do that, and then my car would start. But my husband at the time was a very good car mechanic, and therefore our cars always were in perfect condition. So you can see that God was really having his ways with me, and he still does. When I started to go to a special meetings where God was working mightily, I saw people resting in the spirit, and I started to investigate it very cautiously. When I was receiving prayer for my sore throat, I made sure that my legs were well balanced so that I could not go down. But I went down, and while lying down, I felt heat on my throat. I thought, why is someone shining that lamp on me? When I stood up, I was healed. And the outcome of my investigation was, it is of God. When I first saw deliverances from demons, I was scared. But after I went through it myself, I saw the benefits of it. And I bought books and teachings of Rebecca Brown and Graham Powell. So that's, God did it all himself. He taught me himself.
Looks like he's given you his hands-on hands-on teaching. Yes.
Because he still does that.
It's not just philosophy. It's actually things happening.
Yeah, it is.
And so this isn't really going on as commonplace in the church, though.
I think the other people just go to the church and that's it.
Yes. And you told me how your experience, how'd that go over in the church when you tried to go to church?
They don't like me.
They didn't like you?
No.
Oh, me.
But I go to a little home group. And they love me. So that's okay. As 12 days ago, I was in the home group, and they know me. So a young lad, he asked me, will you please pray for me? I'm very tired. I just got a new job, and he was tired. So I went to him, I sat on the floor, and I prayed for him. And then suddenly I got a word of knowledge, and it came out so with so much authority that the demons, the wind, everyone on the left side felt the wind going past when the demons were leaving him. So that was very, very nice. And then another one wanted prayer, and the same thing happened. The others felt the cold wind going. And the cold wind means that when a demon leaves a person, then it changes temperature, according to Rebecca Brown.
Yes.
You can feel it.
Yes.
But it's so nice to suddenly God just takes over and he speaks with much authority, and then you feel the wind. It's really great. I like that. And I know it's not me.
Yes.
And I think that's also very important, that you know it's God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are seeking God. They're seeking to feel him, have an experience or an encounter. And it seems that you almost got to be in the right place at the right time, meeting the right people. Or in your case, you had God's like hands-on care for you.
Yeah.
You weren't a religious person. You were married to a Muslim that would disagree and actually stop you from believing like you did. But God kept his hands on you.
Yeah, he sure did.
And the one thing, when I start talking to you, you began to bring up ministries that I knew were very powerful, with a lot of God doing a lot of things in the States. They were, I knew of these ministries. I grew up with them. I listened to them. And here you are in the Netherlands, and you've known about them for years. So God was also taking care of you, getting teaching, someone to agree with what God was doing with you, somebody to give you guidance. That's so important. In fact, that's what the program's about. People with questions, well, how did they deal with it? What happened? What's God doing? And today you said about deliverance, and deliverance, people can get obsessed, controlled, manipulated, their lives, their homes, their families, by demons. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus' teaching's good. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they can also come in through anger and unforgiveness and stealing and lying, cursing, occult movies and books, wrong music, demonic healing, so addictions like porn, and that's a lot. There are many doing that. Alcohol, drugs, gaming, gambling, gluttony, and it can come in if you picked up the sins of your ancestors.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, but you don't have to pick it up, though. If someone has a father that was drinking a lot of alcohol, I know of one person that didn't pick it up. He hated it, so he never started drinking. But usually they do. Yeah, usually they do. And you also asked me a question about is there a more productive path to find reality and fellowship with our Heavenly Father and our Savior? You know the quickest way, Jim? That's persecution.
Persecution?
That's the quickest way. Yeah. It's also, of course, a question of your heart. Do you want it? I would recommend people to start reading the Gospels in the New Testament first, and only take a few verses and think about them. What does it mean for my life? Start telling the Father and Jesus that you love them. Thank Jesus that he has laid down his life for you. Express your gratitude. And be not bitter against any. If they've wronged you, let God deal with it. For example, I once met a woman that told me that her husband had said something to her that upset her. I carefully told her that she had to forgive him. After hearing this, she burst into anger. And some days later, she phoned and she asked for prayer because of the pain she had in her hands. It was as if someone was hitting her hands with a hammer, she said. I prayed and the pain became less. But 2 weeks later, after our first chat, she told me that the pain of rheumatism had left her the moment she truly forgave her husband. So this is also a path to find fellowship with the Heavenly Father and our Savior, to forgive. Because that's a blockage. That's a blockage. And also, and porn is really a very big blockage to receive the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I've seen that happen too.
Remember, we're on secular radio, and I'm the man on the street. I'm the man that's asking questions. Explain that to me, speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues?
Yes.
Well, if you're a born-again Christian, the Bible says that you can receive the Holy Spirit and also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Then you speak in a language of God. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you the words that the Holy Spirit wants to speak. And you can't understand them, mostly not. But you are building up yourself, and you get more strength and power to understand the Bible, and to get more boldness also. And it's really a very good gift to have in your life when you are a Christian.
It's a gift.
But you don't understand the language, and that makes it a little complicated. And sometimes it can also be a real language that people can understand. It's also possible. But it's building. But it's very, very good to trust God. We have to trust God. And sometimes we have to wait for it if it doesn't happen straight away, what we asked. But are we willing to do our part? And that's very important. For it's written in Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5, trust in the Lord and do good. And it's so important. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So if we trust him and do good, we also will be even fed. And that's very, very important for the coming years. There's also written, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So if you have desires, then delight yourself in him, and it will come. Also it's written, commit thy way unto the Lord. Do we do that? It's good to start with that. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. These are all promises. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the night, and thy judgment as the noonday. If we take this serious, these verses, Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5, then we can go far.
So the wonderful thing, the Word of God is just as powerful today as when it was written. And it's written to us. It's not written to be a mystery and make God something hard to understand. God wants to be understood. He wants you to understand. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And a relationship is something when two or more both can relate. Both can talk back and forth and relate. And God looks for a relationship.
Oh, he does. He loves it. He loves it so much.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, really. And if you do something that pleases him, then he does it, you know. Sometimes we really have to be pleasing in his sight to get him to act.
Yes, right. Thank you, Marianne. Can you tell us how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, and if anyone wants to write to me, they are free to do so. My email address is marianne.vanderwel7@outlook.com, and you write Van Der and a Welle, just Welle 7@outlook.com. This is Marianne Van Der Wel 7@outlook.com.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. My friend, fellow minister, Marianne Van Der Wel. Thank you.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at gate 1.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.